What I'm going to talk about is what I did to set my dad up with the computer. Right? So this is just a few little background bits, right? My dad lives a long way away. So if he has any problems, I can't just turn up and fix it. On a good day like Christmas Day, it's a 4-hour drive. Most of the rest of the time, it's 7 hours. So I wanted something that would allow me to remotely administer this box. I wanted something that was secure because my dad naturally seen all the things on the TV, he's heard about hackers, and he thinks if he has a computer, someone's going to steal all the money out of his bank account, even though he doesn't actually do online banking. But it's a surprisingly common belief that people have. So I thought, well, Linux has got no real viruses. I think you can still count on 2 hands the total number that actually exist. It has a built-in firewall, which my dad doesn't need to worry about, but I know how to configure. And I know Linux better than Windows, so it's easier for me to look after his box if I know it the best. And one of the biggest reasons was work said, here you are, I have a computer. Work doesn't give it away with any operating system. So if I had to buy Windows XP, it's £90 retail, the machine would barely move, whereas Linux didn't cost me anything. So that's sort of why I decided to go with Linux. Everyone knows about the graphic user interface, you know, you've got the pointy thing, you press buttons, your mouse, keyboards. It's actually quite old, it was invented in the 1970s, and it uses a lot of office metaphors. So if you worked in an office in the 1970s or 80s, you understand the idea of directories and files. If you never worked in an office, a lot of these metaphors don't actually make that much sense. And the people who did all these inventions were quite young, all had very good eyesight, and they all had the best equipment available at the time. And it does actually require a reasonable degree of eye-hand coordination to point, drive a mouse, point, click icons and things, a lot more than people anticipate. So my dad, when I gave him his computer, was 69. He'd never used a computer, he'd never actually worked in an office, he'd never used a keyboard, and he wears bifocals. And if you watch people who use bifocals, you'll see them holding their glasses like this, because the reading distance is at the bottom of the glass, not in the center. So it's actually quite a nuisance to look at screens. So I thought, well, here's my dad, never worked in an office, he won't understand any of these metaphors, he's never used a mouse, never used a keyboard, and I'm going to give him a computer. So what am I going to do to make it better for him? First thing was, I said, well, here's a distribution, I'm going to take out anything in the install he doesn't need. So he doesn't need GCC because he's never going to write a program, so out it went. Any server kind of functionality, out it went. It doesn't make a huge difference, but it does mean he can't accidentally do anything because it's not there. The next thing I did is I looked at the menus, and it doesn't matter whether you're using KDE or GNOME or whatever, there are a million options. KDE is particularly bad for having a million options. He is never going to use Quanta Plus. He is never going to use the contact manager. He's not going to use the 6 text editors or the 7 media players. So I just got rid of them. The desktop icons, I don't know whether he appreciated what they were, so I just got rid of them. Gone. So what you have is you strip down what you see. So if it's KDE or GNOME or Fluxbox, whatever the desktop is, you cut down massively on the things that are available, and you leave only the things that my dad would actually want, which in this case was, he likes Patience, so he's got KPatience. He likes email, because that's how he sends lots of emails to me and people in Australia, and he likes the browser. So pretty much everything else went. This is something I remember that was a bit more of a surprise, was the color and the contrast. If you look at any screenshot of a typical computer that's done by geeks, they've got lots of black images, pictures of women that you probably wouldn't really want to have on display in an office, and it's all cool, and it's actually very difficult to see. And a lot of the default formats and styles are really, really cool and trendy, but are actually terrible to read. So I went to a great deal of effort to pick a color scheme that he could actually see the difference between a window, a pointer, the menu bar at the bottom. So most people are used to black text on white paper. It's what most of us read. It's not necessarily the best, but it's what most people are familiar with. So I went for white background, black text. The pointer, which I don't think this will kick in automatically, is quite often white or black. That doesn't actually show up all that well against black text on white. So I went for a dirty great big red pointer. I thought it looked horrible, it didn't look cool, but my dad could actually see where the pointer was on the screen, and he could read the text, which was more important than it looking cool. After you've chosen the colours, you've got the fonts to choose from. There's lots and lots of possible fonts you can choose on a computer. Itty bitty ones, space age ones, fancy ones. I went for a very boring one that you could actually read. Verdana is designed specifically for use on a screen. It doesn't actually print that well, but it is actually designed for screen use. Microsoft accidentally gave it away, and now they can't un-give it away. So virtually every Linux distribution has it, and it looks quite good. Most people, when they see text like this text here, and they decide it's too small, and I see people do this at work, they say, oh, the text is too small, I will make the resolution of the screen smaller and the text will appear bigger. And what you end up with is a big letter here, which is very, very pixelated and blocky. Don't do that, especially on an LCD, because it has one natural resolution, and if you run it at anything other than that, it will look dreadful. If you want text to be bigger, you make the text bigger. So you go into the default settings and you say, make all my menus 16 point. And that's what I did. In fact, they weren't big enough. My dad wanted me to make them. I think the default settings on his desktop are 24 point. I thought it was absolutely horrible, but to my dad, he could read it, it made sense. So pick a sensible font, make it big, don't reduce resolution. A lot of people will do that. The same thing applies to icon sets. My dad has no idea what the Firefox logo is. He thinks it's the world on fire at the best, or just a blob. Right? Lots of things that people who are used to computers see, like the Debian logo, no, that's Debian. My dad, it's a red swirl. It means nothing to him. And a lot of the office metaphors also mean absolutely nothing to him. So choose an icon set that actually might relate to something. What else we got? Yeah. And the tooltips, I find them highly annoying, because as you move the mouse around, this box pops up and tells you that this is the delete user, or that this is the add contact. My dad found that really, really useful. So make sure things like that are switched on. And the last one was, I happen to have a 17-inch Sun monitor, so he got it. I think Jamie's will more or less force you to have a monitor now, because they're so desperate to get rid of them. There's no reason to choose a squidgy little screen. That's absolutely insane. A big monitor makes a big difference. They're absurdly cheap, and people like Jamie's will sort of give them to you in handfuls. Having been surprised about the size of the font my dad liked, I went to the same kind of thing within the applications. Within the email program, you can choose the size of the button bars and the icons across the top. You can choose the schemes again, lots of things there. Again, go for the big buttons. My dad didn't know what the little person thing was inside Thunderbird. Well, obviously it's a contact book, isn't it? So I actually had an address book as the word. Most applications allow you to put the word as well as the icon. So I switched them both on, because to be honest, the icon really didn't make a great deal of difference. So yes, no idea. My dad thought the KD activation thing, for example, was a gremlin, a little bouncy ball, or the where the icon changes, he thought that was a gremlin. So, you know, he had no idea that it meant that the computer was busy. It's amazing how many of these metaphors are not recognized by people who've never used a computer. And the other thing we found very quickly was, he couldn't cope with menus. Holding the mouse straight so that the pointer moves along a menu to go down three levels is actually hard. People grossly overestimate the ability of people to pick this up. So for my dad, a big stop button on the patience game was helpful, because you hit the stop button, game stops. Big button, starts the game. Easy. The fact that you can go into the menu and go file, game, start, was a joke. It really is hard to teach people to do that. It takes a lot of practice. So the menus are, you know, they're not as fancy as people think. If person has never used a computer, double click is one of the most evil things to teach. It really is hard. And pretty much every desktop system will allow you to not need it. If someone has used a computer and learnt double click, having double click deactivated is one of the most infuriating and evil things you can do to them. My dad never used a computer, so his computer requires double click for virtually nothing. And it's easy. You click on the thing and the program starts. You click on the thing and something happens. It's easy, it's intuitive, it's obvious. He's not too fussed about right clicking and activating things because he's only going to start a few simple applications. All the fancy stuff's not necessary. It's too much for him. Although I said here requires physical dexterity, I taught computing to a class of theology students when I was at university. Out of 40 people, all very young and keen and excited, you cannot believe the misery of all these mostly girls bashing away on the mouse to double click. It's actually very, very difficult, even if you're young. But if you've got arthritis, it's a joke. It really is very difficult. You can adjust the timings, but even so, it's actually quite a hard act to do. So for my dad, out it went. I told my dad what to do, and he forgot, just like everyone else. So I wrote the instructions down, and I actually used the instructions myself. Press so and so. It didn't work. Oh yes, I've missed a step. The instructions had every step in. My dad was very happy. He used them for about a week, and I think they live in a cupboard by the computer, and they've never come out in nearly a year. But to start with, it was very, very important for building his confidence and learning the procedures. And written instructions are fantastic. I know most of these applications are help files in, but that's a joke. And telling someone to use a man page when they can barely switch a computer on is insane. I mean, we all know that man pages aren't even that good if you know what you're doing. But to say to someone who's never used a computer in your life before, oh, just use the man page, it'll explain everything, it's insane. So written hard copy instructions, and you must check every single step because it's so easy to forget things. I did it. I'm terrible at this, so my other half wrote instructions because she's got better handwriting as well. So I don't use auto logging, but my dad does. He's the only person in the house. It's his computer. So KDE does auto logging. I think GNOME has an option to do it as well. It's a joke asking someone to log into their system. He doesn't actually have root access, so he's not going to do anything. So I went for auto login. Pretty much everything I could think about was set by default for him in advance. And then we spent 2 days saying, do you like this? So for example, the fonts were too small, so I made them bigger. So the fonts were adjusted. Once the defaults are set, my dad's been happy. He can drive that computer for nearly 18 months. He's had it now. Had no problems. He really liked the fact that it was a user account. This is a bizarre counterintuitive thing. Previously, my mother had a Windows 98 machine. You can wreck that quite happily all on your own. And he'd seen that happen. And then I had to, and he'd seen me and my mum talk on the phone about trying to tell my mother how to put something back after she'd deleted it. When I told my dad, oh, you can't wreck this computer because you don't have permission. He was so relieved. He can't break the computer. He doesn't have permission. He's just an ordinary user. I did actually write the root password down on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope and sealed it and said, in case of emergency. Because it's easier than trying to explain what the root password is over the phone if you have to. But he doesn't log in as root, which of course is what Windows XP does. And you'd think, well, obviously give people all the authority on the box is the natural thing to do. My dad actually liked not having the authority on his own computer because then he knew he couldn't break anything. And I'm going to reiterate it again, the mouse and the GUI isn't as easy as people think. Because even after all this preparation, I had quite a few phone calls for things like dragging and dropping. Actually excruciatingly difficult to learn. It is, you know, not as easy as things. But he's mostly happy. So, a couple of links. The article, as I wrote it, is on my website. The KDE project, the GNOME project, and the Debian organization all have accessibility websites, and although I can't say how fantastically active some of them are. I think all the other distros also do. So that's what I did to set my dad up. After a month, he said he wanted broadband, which, because I had remote access, I sent him an ADSL router with cables, with sticky labels on, this goes into computer, this goes into telephone. He then dialed up, I SSH'd in, adjusted the routing tables, switched the Ethernet card on, which was already installed, connected to another machine, connected in from the ADSL link, rearranged the routing tables again to remove the dial-up, disconnected, and he's now running on ADSL, and he's been happy ever since. One thing I didn't mention in the talk, in the original article, which I have done since, is I now use VNC to take over his desktop to show him how to do things. Telephone in one hand, I have his desktop on my desktop with broadband. It's a useful distance learning tool. And any problem he has, like Thunderbird's keenness to create new user accounts based on typing errors, I can now go in and show him how to delete them. So it is doable. It's just sensible configuration. And if you have used a computer a lot, you need to appreciate that people who haven't used them a lot have very different perceptions. There are no screenshots because it doesn't make any difference what application you're using. It's about principles. Plus, my dad hasn't been online this week, so I haven't been able to get a screenshot of his desktop, which I would have done. Mine's a bit boring because I don't actually have anything on it at all. So that's what I did, and that should be the... Oops, wrong button. The end.